Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Quest Community Vibrations, better known as Quest Youth Radio, which is the best youth radio. I'd like to start out by saying music, like poetry, has a message, and history, like a diamond, shines clear to the truth. You see, words have meaning that we can comprehend, like definition. News can show us a chain of events that we may not always understand. Now, I'm asking you, the listener, to pull back our musical curtain to see and hear the contributions of our diaspora, and you are sure to find our Quest Moment, where we attempt to make waves, indeed, vibration. So I thank you once again for joining us to hear a different perspective of our community. Now, this morning, today's program starts with our Diamond of the Week featuring Nikki Giovanni, followed by the definition on the stock market. Student host Walter Pierce finishes with his final segment, Curtain, on John Coltrane, which we listened to at the beginning of the podcast. His co-hosts will include Tanisha Gardner, Tamir Davis, Shelton Harris, and phone callers will have the final say on or be able to provide questions and or comments about today's broadcast. Now, be on the listenership and use your mind's eye, because we have a special guest, our new recruit, Justin Hill. Now, without any further ado, I'd like to bring to you our student host, Walter Pierce. Good morning, Walter.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Quest Community Vibrations, live on 89.5 from the campus of Seton Hall in South Orange. And to start off with my first segment of today, it is diamonds. And see, history is like a diamond. Each prism represents the work of a group of people at a particular period of time. Look into the diamond and see the reflections of your past self, the pain of your mother, the children of your father, and the blood of your ancestors. Look deeply, and you are bound to find yourself. Now, my diamond for this week is on Nikki Giovanni. And see, Yolanda Cornelia Nikki Giovanni was born in Knoxville, Tennessee on June 7, 1943, and raised in Cincinnati, Ohio. In 1960, she entered Fisk University in Nashville, Tennessee, where she worked with school's writer workshop and edited the Literacy magazine. After receiving her Bachelor's of Arts degree in 1967, she organized the Black Arts Festival in Cincinnati before entering graduate school at the University of Pennsylvania and Columbia University. Giovanni is the author of numerous children books and poetry collections, including Chasing Utopia, Bicycle, Love Poems. And also, since she's a lung cancer survivor, Giovanni has also contributed an introduction to the anthology of Breaking the Silence, inspirational stories of Black cancer survivors. Her honors include a fellowship from the National Endowment for the Arts in 1970, the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. Award, Dedication and Commitment to Service in 2009, three NAACP Image Awards for Literature in 1998, the Langston Hughes Award for Distinguished Contributions to Arts and Letters in 1996, as well as more than 20 honorary degrees from the National College and University. She has been given the keys to more than a dozen cities, including New York, Los Angeles, Dallas, Miami, and New Orleans. Several magazines have named Giovanni Woman of the Year, including Essence, Ebony, Ladies Home Journal. She was the first recipient of the Rosa Parks Woman of Courage Award. She has served as poetry judge for the National Book Awards and was a finalist for a Grammy Award in the category of spoken word. And she is currently a professor at the a distinguished professor at Virginia Tech, where she has taught since 1987. And that concludes my segment on Nikki Giovanni. Again, another great writer, African-American writer, that I just wanted to highlight, because there's a lot of important ones out there that we just need to bring light on. You know, we all know the Toni Morrisons, Lincoln Hughes, but, you know, a lot of people probably don't know about Nikki Giovanni, so I wanted to bring it to everybody listening. And besides that, we actually coming up have a poem by the one and only Nikki Giovanni. So thank you again for listening, and this is being your host, Walter Pierce.
I was born in the Congo. I walked to the Fertile Crescent and built a Sphinx. I designed a pyramid so tough that a star that only glows every 100 years falls into the center, giving divine, perfect light. I am bad. I sat on the throne drinking nectar with Allah. I got hot and sent an ice age to Europe to cool my thirst. My oldest daughter is Nefertiti. The tears from my birth pains created the Nile. I am a beautiful woman. I gazed on the forest and burned out the Sahara Desert. With a packet of goat meat and a change of clothes, I crossed it in 2 hours. I am a gazelle, so swift, you can't catch me. For a birthday present when he was 3, I gave my son Hannibal an elephant. He gave me Rome for Mother's Day. My strength flows ever on. My son Noah built new ark, and I stood proudly at the helm as we sailed on a soft summer day. I turned myself into myself and was Jesus. Men intoned my loving name. All praises, I am the one who would save. I sowed diamonds in my backyard. My bowels delivered uranium. The filings from my fingernails are semi-precious jewels. On a trip north, I caught a cold and blew my nose, giving oil to the Arab world. I am so hip, even my errors are correct. I sailed west to reach east and had to round off the earth as I went. The hair from my head thinned and gold was laid across 3 continents. I am so perfect, so divine, so ethereal, so surreal. I cannot be comprehended except by my permission. I mean, I can fly like a bird in the sky.
Okay, and now we begin with the sound from A Tribe Called Quest, featuring J. Cole.
Can I kick it?
Yes, you can.
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 Can I kick it?
Like a tribe does. Before this, did you really know what I was? Comprehend to the track voice, why? Cuz getting mentions on the tip of the vibe buzz. Rock and roll to the beat of the funk fuzz. Wipe your feet really good on the rhythm rug. If you feel the urge to freak, do the jitterbug. Come and spread your arms if you really need a hug. Afrocentric living is a big shrug. Our life's filled with, that's what I love. A lower plateau is what we're above. If you diss us, we won't even think of. We'll nip of the dog and give a big shove. This rhythm really fits like a snug glove. Like a box of positives, it's a plus love. As the tribe flies high like a dove.
Drop your pants, yeah, yeah, hey, yeah. Do you like the garments that we wear? I instruct you to be the obeyer. A rhythm recipe that you'll savor. Doesn't matter if you're minor or major. It's the tribe of the game with a player. As you inhale like a breath of fresh air.
Okay, good morning. Tanisha Gardner, you're on the line. Good morning, Tanisha.
Good morning.
How you doing? Do you have any comment about Nikki Giovanni, the poem and or the segment of Diamond?
I like the poem. The poem was definitely beautiful, the way that she intertwined history and our generations and our legacy. It's a very beautiful poem, and how you can see the greatness in the poems, you know, and that's very powerful. And it makes you think about, you know, our own poet laureate, you know, even though it got taken away, you know, from Mary Baraka. But it just makes you think, like, how can we get another poet laureate or whatever? Because I know I do poetry too. Mm-hmm. And I know my poetry is great, and it's like, how do you really get yourself out there for people to, see it from your point of view and be able to bless people through your poetry?
Okay. Thank you so much. We want to bring on Tamir. Tamir Davis, good morning. How are you?
Great. How you doing?
Okay. Any comments, reactions to our segment on Diamonds, Nikki Giovanni?
Oh yes, definitely. The poem "Ego Tripping" is one of my favorite poems, and it kind of reminds me. While listening to it, I read the poem several times, but while listening to the background with the chanting and what have you, it seems like it kind of gave birth to the style or influenced the style of toasting, which was prior to actually rapping and so on and so forth, where people would actually toast and be very braggadocious about certain concepts and so on and so forth, and, you know, really embellish themselves, which is really, really great. I like the whole scenario of the poem, of her going all over the world, Egypt, meeting the God, and I think it's a really, really good poem. But in addition to that, Nikki Giovanni actually comes from a very academic background with her family, starting from her grandparents. And her grandmother and grandfather was very influential in both her life and her sister's life and her parents' life in terms of writing, just being very influential. She paid great homage to her family and her family members. So I have a lot of respect for the wholesomeness that she brings before the world, not just in terms of her literature, but also the way she reveres and respects her family. I really appreciate Nikki Giovanni and her poems.
Thank you.
And all of the great work.
Okay. Thank you so much for your input, and good morning again to Mr. Shelton Harris. Mr. Harris, when I listen to Nikki Giovanni and I hear the richness of African-American black culture, not just in America but around the world, what comes to mind and what comment would you like to make? Because there's just so many other negative connotations about African-American black people, not just in America, but in the world. And when I listen to a poet and listen to this writer who is indeed an activist, so many things come to mind. Cast away the dispelling biases about a people. I've talked too much here. Mr. Harris, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, all. Yeah, I don't know if I'm dating myself, but when I first started getting into poetry, you know, I always liked poetry. I was never able to, like, write it that well. But Nikki Giovanni and a lot of other black poets, it was called, you know, they had, like, a little consortium where everybody would just get together and do stuff. But she always stood out to me for some reason, you know. And ego tripping is just what it says. She's just bigging herself up and bigging up everything else around her, you know. And that's like, as you said, that's a positive thing that you don't necessarily hear a lot in today's media, you know. But she's always been one of my favorite poets, and she's still doing it. She's still writing. She's still, you know, educating, and I just pray she continues.
Okay, thank you so much. We'll be hearing more from our panelists. And right now, before we turn it back over to Walter, here's a cut titled Summer in the City. I'd like to turn it back over to our student host, Walter Pierce. Walter, good morning again. What else do you have on tap for us this morning?
Yes, and my segment for this week is diamonds. Definition. And this segment provides the listener with words and the meaning so that we could achieve together a common basis between we care and we believe in ourselves. Remember, whosoever controls our definition controls the fight for us. And again, my definition for this week is the stock market. And, you know, the stock market, again, has been around for a very long time. And it is a great way to make a good side income. It is also something that me and Mr. Bay said in the past, which is high risk, high reward. And, you know, stocks or shares of a company represent ownership equity in the firm, which gives shareholders voting rights as well as residual claim on a corporate earnings in the form of capital gains and dividends. So what does all of that mean? Basically, you buy a share of a company, as many shares as you want. And then, you know, you get a certain percentage. You technically own a certain percentage of that company, and you can make money off of that depending on if the company is increasing or decreasing in value. So you got to watch out for that increasing and decreasing value in order to make sure if you want to sell or buy your stock. And let's say, for example, a company has 1,000 available shares, and you buy 100 of those shares. What that means is you technically have 10% ownership equity in that company, which is a huge amount. And, you know, a lot of people who are getting started in a stock market are not going to have that much. But that's just an example of how much ownership you will have in that certain company. And, you know, I also have, because me and Mr. Bay talked about this in the past, because he also knows a lot about the stock market as well. So, Mr. Bay, I want to ask you for your input as well of why do you believe that, you know, people should actually start getting into the stock market, especially in these times of today?
Okay. Well, I think that's an excellent question. And the answer that I readily availably have at the tip of my tongue is that you always want to have more than one source of income. And investment is important when trying to establish more than one source of income. This particular pandemic showed us that anyone who just had one main source of income was out of luck, because if they lost their job, they had no other way of having any kind of money. But when you talk about accumulating wealth for your future, for your children's grandchildren, and so forth, you want to make a wise investment. Now, a lot of people choose real estate, but real estate is not the only one.
Right.
So I know I answered your question, and I could rattle on, but to have more than one source of a stream of income is the major reason why I would advise anyone to find out and or just pay attention to this particular phone call,
right?
Podcast,
and
invest in the stock market. You know, lastly, I want to say that a lot of people,
I just want to say, scared money does not make money, right?
People still refer to 1929 and the stock market crash,
right,
as a reason for not investing in the stock market. That is a big mistake. But let me bring in, we have 86, Tamir, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, what do you know about the stock market? I want to throw the question to you. Why should someone invest in the stock market, if they should at all?
Because you want to actually engage in residual income without a lot of effort or without a lot of hard work. And so we talked about it last week in terms of annuities and different type of tax shelters and different type of financial options to be able to not only consider yourself in the future, but also that can be passed on to your offspring, to your loved ones. You can have beneficiaries, so on and so forth. Stuff like that. It's great that we're actually talking about the stock market. Kevin Boston actually wrote a book entitled Smart Money Moves by African Americans that deals with African Americans and investing and stuff like that. So I think that we need to always consider the importance of engaging in stock investments for future reference.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Tanisha Gardner, you're on the line. Oh, wait a minute. Let me get you back in here. Tanisha, what do you think about investment in the stock market?
Of course. That's the best thing to do. It's so funny because we're not taught that. And just imagine if we was taught that through generation and through generation. You know, that's another part of ownership. The simple fact that, like you said, you don't have to put too much time and effort in creating your own company, that you can actually own a company by investing in it. And then if you have enough shares, just imagine if all the black people did have enough shares to be able to be in the meetings with the shareholders' meetings. That's very powerful because you could dictate the flow of how you want those companies to be. That is very powerful. And that's something that we need to look into. Maybe we could do it as a group to be able to, you know, funnel in our money through that to be able to make the changes in these corporations that affects our lives each and every day.
Thank you so much. Mr. Harris, I know you indeed know the history, and I know that Tamir also knows, but the original stock market, those original shares, you know where I'm going with this, Mr. Harris?
Yes, I do. You know, the original commodities that were shared on Wall Street were black people, you know, because slavery was actually a business. People seem to forget that part of it, you know, and that's how the United States was able to create such wealth so quickly. And again, just like everybody was saying, a small investment can get you a great return as long as your business is thriving. And slavery thrived for hundreds of years. And this is how a lot of people was able to gain their generational wealth for their families on the backs of other people's families. And but still, that's the history. But today, as everybody else was saying, it's still important to have more than one stream of income. And sometimes it's better to have to make money while you're sleeping. And that's what the stock market and other types of investments like that will lead to if you continue to do it correctly.
Okay. Thank you so much. Walter, I turn it back over to you. You know, yesterday on air, you know, I just had to get a job. We are led to believe that in order to be successful, and I'm not saying don't get a job, right? But I am saying that we're taught that you have to work hard. And in fact, it's just the opposite. You can work all your life hard and still barely make ends meet. And Walter, could you expand on that one? And do you agree with that premise?
Yeah, we were talking about that yesterday. And basically what you were saying, you know, you could work hard all your life and still, you know, still struggle financially. Like, it's people out there that I've even seen that go through stuff like that. And really, I guess the point of that is it's because they're like, I feel like they're put into a position where they just feel like that's the only thing that they could do. And they're not exposed to a lot of different ways to, you know, be able to make other sources of income that could probably help them improve. And really, that just comes down to the teaching and the communities that they have been brought up in. And sadly enough, you know, a lot of our communities, as we could say, don't really teach those types of things. So that's really what, you know, especially starting now, we have to start teaching and helping out each other, finding those different routes to be able to continue to build wealth within these families, continue to invest in each other, so that we can continue to grow as a people.
Thank you so much. Tamir, I want to come back to you and put you on the spot for a moment. And was there a time where financial literacy was taught in our regular public schools?
I think at one point, historically, and maybe I'm wrong, but politics and economics was actually taught. And business was a very important part, especially decades ago. Most students that went to school went up to the eighth grade, and maybe in the 20s and 30s, and that was a higher education during that time. If you go to the eighth grade, you can actually go get a sustainable job, feed your family, so on and so forth, stuff like that. So, it was taught. Business is a very important part of education. But I don't think it's being taught the same way as it was before today. There's a lot of obscurism in education where you're not getting just the facts and getting straight to the point. And that keeps people out of the loop, if you will. But, you know, I think that has to change. People have to take it upon themselves to go to their library, go to their local institutions, and actually look for mentors and business and different type of entities to move on and move forward with their lives. At the end of the day, there's no real excuse because a person is responsible for arming themselves with pertinent information to help themselves and their family, you know. Information is there. We just have to be able to go about and make sure we ascertain the information to move forward.
Okay. Thank you so much. On the all I ever wanted to learn was right in the public library for free. As we continue, give you a jazz piece. back to Quest Youth Radio, which is the best youth radio, airing live every Saturday morning from 7 to 8 a.m. And now, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls and children of all ages, specifically you adults out there, you are to be reminded that no matter what age you are, there's always a lesson to be learned. And with that being said, it's time for another Aesop fable. Now, today's title is The Woodman and the Serpent. Now, one wintry day, a woodman was tramping home from his work when he saw something black lying on the snow. When he came closer and saw it was a serpent, to all his appearance, it was dead. But he took it up and put it in his bosom to warm while he hurried home. Now, as soon as he got indoors, he put the serpent down on the heath or the fireplace before the fire. Now, the children watched it and saw it slowly come back to life again. Now, one of them stooped down to stroke it, but the serpent rose up its head and put it out, pulled out its fangs, and it was about to sting the child to death. So the woodman seized his axe and with one strike cut the serpent in two. "Ah," he said. Now, the moral of this particular story is no gratitude from the wicked. I have to ask, does anyone have any further interpretation, starting with Mr. Harris?
Okay. Yeah, well, you have to understand that some things can't do anything outside of their nature. And once a snake, always a snake. And, you know, and that's something that a lot of us seem to forget. You know, we try to put our goodness on bad things and act surprised when it fires back at them in a negative way.
Okay.
I think that's what you're talking about.
Well, hey, absolutely. Let me get Tamir Davis. What do you think about that particular fable?
It is what it is. Once a person shows you who he, once a person shows you who he or she is the first time, believe him. Believe him the first
time. Okay. All right. Tanisha Gardner, what do you think about that particular fable?
Wow, it's very deep. It makes you think about people. It's so conflicting. Because it's like one, like you said, if a person has a reprobated mind, they're not going to change, and they're so used to doing what they're doing, and it's like you're wasting your time. I guess like the same thing when Jesus said when he went, you know, to talk to the people and they didn't want to listen, and he said dust your feet off and keep it moving because you don't want to waste your energy. So that's something to really think about. And the people that's in our lives, that's like, I guess they call them vampires, and they like continually take your energy because they know they're not going to change, and you keep continually investing in them and pouring in them. And it's like, as they said, you're giving diamonds to swine, and you shouldn't do it. And, you know, that's very powerful.
It
makes me think about this discernment, but yeah.
Oh, my fault. Is that it?
Yeah, no, I was going to say, it also makes me think about discernment because you have to be able to discern things to know. You know, what's the difference? Because some people can change, but how do you recognize if they want to change and the signs are when you see the effort that they put forward? And if they don't put that effort forward, just keep it moving.
Okay. I like your interpretation as it relates to human nature and us as people just dealing with one another. Mr. Walter Pierce, what do you get from that fable, if anything?
Yeah, everybody really basically said it. Even though the man was out here trying to help, you know, this creature, and to still try to come back and still hurt them, that's stuff that happens in real life. You know, you help out somebody that you think you could trust and you think that really is in need. And if you help them, you believe that they're going to change for the good, and it actually never happens. So really basically what everybody said, I relate to.
Okay. Well, Walter, with that being said, I like to say for anyone who might be struggling from substance abuse, for anybody who might be suffering from mental illness, that there is help, right? If you've reached out and you've come to your wit's end and you need someone to talk to, dial 1-800-662-4357, 1-800-662-4357. That's 1-800-662-HELP. That's 4357. And, yes, there is help out there. And, yeah, it's a 24-hour national hotline. Now, that being said, I want to go with another cut, right, because coming up is our next segment, which is Kurt. So now, with the sounds of Coltrane in the background, I leave the foreground to you, our student host, Walter Pierce. Pick it back on up, man.
Thank you. But before that, I would like for you to read the intro for Curtin for John Coltrane.
Okay. The introduction, which I honestly have to say I don't have in front of me, right? But the gist of this particular segment of Curtin is about what contributions has the artist actually given to the community. You see, many times the community does not or has not benefited from the artist. This is the segment where this particular morning, his genius and creativity tells us about the contribution that he has had in our community and the benefits the community has gained from his artistry and creativity. I hand it to you.
Thank you. And, you know, when we're talking about John Coltrane, he has done a lot of philanthropic work. Actually, you know, he's given a lot of numerous calls as well. But really what I want to talk about is what he has done for the civil rights movement, what he described, you know. When we're talking about John Coltrane, he says that he never described himself as a political activist. He said he was a musician first and foremost. He was also a deeply religious person. But it was the deep, scarce humanity, that drew him towards the civil rights movement. So all the chaos and just the hatred and all the racism towards, you know, African-Americans and how the civil rights movement was starting to fuel up during, you know, the 1960s really drew in him to help. So the ways he actually helped is he held concerts, actually. And these concerts, you know, will actually help Martin Luther King Jr. in this movement. And we all know about the tragic day of the morning of September 15th, when the bombing of the church, which most notably, you know, the four little girls that sadly died in that bombing, you know, John Coltrane actually wrote a song called Alabama in response to the bombing. And, you know, really that song really was something that was important, especially during that time period, you know, to really just bring a lot of attention really to that situation, because that was something that was, again, something that was so terrible and just a terrible time in our period. And really, what we have to, especially in these times, we have to start bringing awareness to these certain events and have people understand, you know, what happened these types of days. You know, that bombing, even though a lot of us know about it, there's still people out there who are ignorant to the fact of how, you know, crucial this moment actually was. And, you know, just sadly, something like this had to happen. And, you know, just the other things, going back to John Coltrane, you know, the charities he has supported with cancer, jazz foundation that he has supported. John Coltrane has always been a person who helped the people. And once he's seen African-Americans die of time, who really needed the music, who really needed the support to help bring awareness to the civil rights movement, he helped and he stepped in. So again, shout out John Coltrane. And I would like to pass it on, you know, to the rest of the panel who probably listened to more John Coltrane than I have and could, you know, attest to more of, you know, how he was as a person as well.
Okay. Well, that being said, we're going straight to Mr. Harris. Mr. Harris, you know, first of all, thank you, Walter, for enlightening me. I did not know that John Coltrane produced a song dedicated to the four girls who, ironically, that date, which we will never forget, just passed us by this past week, the bombing of a church in Alabama. But speak to Coltrane. Mr. Harris, take it away.
Yeah, well, John Coltrane, he came up in a time when a lot of artists felt that their art needed to reflect what was going on in the world. Nina Simone, there was a lot of other people, all of our people and national just folk singers in general. But John Coltrane, he took the whole idea of playing the horn, not just to a technical height, but he took it to a spiritual level. You know, like Walter was saying, he was a very religious person, and he felt that everything was connected. And he tried to express that in his music. You know, a lot of people didn't understand what he was doing, but the more that you listen to what he was doing, he was enlightening people on the types of things that are possible. Not necessarily the things that are happening, but things that are possible. And he was a great person in that area.
Okay. Thank you so much. Now, I'm going to go straight to our new recruit and ask him to introduce himself. Good morning, Justin. Are you still on the line?
Yes.
Justin, introduce yourself. What's your name?
Hi, my name is Justin Hill. I'm in sixth grade, and I'm 11.
Justin, do you have any comments, anything that you learned by listening to the show this morning?
Yeah, I learned a lot because I didn't know about John Coltrane, and I would like to thank Walter for teaching me about him.
Okay. Well, we thank you so much. And I want to let everybody know that's on the line that Justin is don't let Walter hear this. Right. But I want to bring on the line someone else who I think is a secret listener of Quest Community Vibrations, Quest Youth Radio. Good morning, Tiffany. How are you? Okay.
Oh.
So what we have Val on the line, our number one fan.
Good morning, Quest. How are you?
Good. We're all good. What did you think about today's show?
I thought today's show was fabulous, as always. And to piggyback off of your segments on investments, I just wanted to, again, reiterate the Smart Cooperative Investment Group that caters to people of African DNA. And it's a progressive investment group that's been around for about 5 years now. And our investments and continue to increase. Our website is our email address is gigforyou@gmail.com. And just invite you to check out our Facebook page to see what our organization is about and to get some insight in the Smart Cooperative Investment Group. And that's
okay.
The CSSCIG number 4, letter U at gmail.com.
Thank you very much. Let's get Tamir Davis back on the line. Tamir, what did you think about today's show?
Fabulous. Fabulous show. This is my therapy.
Okay.
I had a session this morning. Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome. Tanisha, I want to ask you to please come up with some words of encouragement for our new recruit, Justin.
Perseverance, consistency, and just keep doing what you're doing and always believe in yourself.
Mr. Harris, words of encouragement for Justin.
Yeah, just stay focused with what you want because it might seem hard, but the more you do it, the easier it'll get.
And, of course, Walter, what did you think about today's show?
I think today's show was given a lot of information, you know, a lot of different topics. We had Nikki Giovanni, the stock market, getting people interested in that, and also ended with John Coltrane and his work with helping people, especially African Americans. So all around, it was a great show for today.
Okay. And with that being said, I'd like for you to close out the show. And right after you do, we'll listen and walk on out with the sound of Take the Coltrane. Take the Coltrane. So close us out.
I would like to thank everybody for tuning in to another edition of Quest Community Vibrations, live on 89.5 from the campus of Seton Hall in South Orange. Quest Youth Radio is the
everybody.
Best
radio.
Radio.
The best, youth radio.
The best.
That's Duke Ellington in the background.
Yeah.